allies, and anybody that wants to learn more about the LGBT plus community. My name is Zanardi, and I'm so glad all your beautiful faces are here. Welcome to episode 7, part 2 of the show. This is a continuation from my conversation with Rob in episode 7, part 1. So if you haven't listened to part 1 of this episode, I would go ahead and go back and listen to that one. This part deals more with Rob's post-high school life, his navigation through depression in his college years, and even through a sexual assault. So this part is very heavy on mental health and dealing with things that sometimes are outside of your control. So without further ado, here's Rob.
All right, Rob. So you're feeling good. You finishing middle school. You went to the Lady Gaga concert, met her. You're feeling good. Going into high school, how does that look? How are you navigating high school, returning back to school with some of these kids post-cancer?
Post-cancer. Well, this was like in the middle of freshman year. So coming back after their winter break, surprisingly, it was very like well-received when I came back.
Okay.
Mostly because my friends were all excited that I got to meet Gaga.
Yeah.
And they just wanted to hear all about it and whatnot. And then I had all these random people kind of saying, oh, like, you're so brave. Like, mm-hmm. I'm glad you beat cancer, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, thank you for the support, but who are you? But, you know, it's really nice because coming from where middle school was, I mean, middle school wasn't all bad, but coming from just that last year where literally it was hell, it was just one bad thing after the other. And then high school, still feeling like shit about the first part of it because I practically missed my freshman year experience due mm-hmm. to cancer and getting treated. But then coming back, everyone was nice about it. Everyone was excited to hear all about meeting her.
Yeah.
But then literally the last week of high school, I had an epiphany. Mm. My epiphany was, I hate this school. And the only reason I went to this school was because all of my friends mm-hmm. from middle school were going here. So I made the big decision to transfer high schools.
Okay.
Literally the last week. And thankfully it all got approved. I didn't tell my parents until it got approved.
Wow.
And they were kind of like, okay.
Okay.
All right. I mean, we kind of wanted you to stay there, but mm. that's fine, you know. My mom's very supportive. I love her.
Yeah.
She's amazing. so I transferred to a school that was newer at the time,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't as crowded, and I feel like wasn't as toxic as most high schools tend to be. You
sure.
know, it's a life experience,
mm-hmm.
and it was a smaller group of people. And that actually got me into dancing more often mm. because, again, reflecting back on my whole Gaga craze,
mm.
that's what kickstarted just dancing for me because I would learn the choreography from the music videos.
Yeah.
And I'd make sure the orientation is correct and I'm not, like, doing it the opposite way. And then some friends were encouraging me to maybe try dancing, like, for real. So in high school, at the new high school, I was still in, I did drama. Mm-hmm. So I was still in drama for that sophomore year and I started dance. And that kind of really was my saving grace in high school
mm-hmm.
in a way, because I was very much involved in the dance program throughout my whole high school career,
sure.
you know, moving forward. And I still listened to Gaga. I still danced to Gaga songs every time she'd come out with a new single, a new music video, learn the choreography, and then I would actually go and teach it in my class, teach it to all my friends. And so that let me meet a whole new group of friends, and everyone was just really nice
mm-hmm.
and accepting. And it's not like, you know, people have a lot of these really great coming out stories where it's very emotional, it's very focal, very just, it's an announcement.
Mm-hmm.
I never had that.
Okay.
Mostly because I just didn't feel comfortable, to kind of just publicly be like, hey, motherfuckers, I like dick.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's amazing and it's very empowering for a lot of people. And, you know, that's great. But for me, it just was never it. Right. So my whole thing was, it's just, I stopped hiding, you know, because in middle school, I would be like, oh, like, stop calling me a faggot. Like, I'm not that, blah, blah, blah. I just, like, didn't give a single fuck about anything. Again, Gaga blessed me with the power of Gaga, you know. So it's not like I would announce that I'm, at the time, thought I was gay, you know, every now and again. But it's just, I was always open about it. I never hid behind any facade or anything that was not who I inherently was. And even in ASB, when I joined ASB, you know, surrounded by the popular kids, and there's a lot of kind of still, oh, like, you're this and that. But everyone was fine. I was just unapologetically myself. And if someone tried to clock me for being a certain way, I would just clock them right back, you know, because it's I noticed it quickly that life is too short to deal with that and hide, you know. And, you know, if there are people who might be listening to this right now who are in their late 20s or even early 30s or maybe even mid 40s and they're still not out, you know what, like, that's fine, like, come out on your own terms, but just know that you have all these people in the world that support you and will be there for you, so don't ever feel afraid to do so. And obviously it's nobody else's place to out someone else,
right,
as I have been outed back then. But I did really realize that, okay, like, there's no use in, for me, there's no use in hiding and denying and not living my best life,
right,
you know. And I know it's kind of contradictory and a little hypocritical because my dad doesn't officially know, but it's not like he doesn't not know.
I mean, he lives with your mom, right? Do you think they've talked about it?
Or... My mom has definitely told me that he would, like, ask here and there. I remember when I was living on my own, he borrowed a jacket from me, and he went in my closet, and he saw this box, big box of unopened condoms, and he actually told my mom about it, and they were, like, laughing about it, but then he was trying to, like, pry information out of my mom, because he figured that she would know more about my personal life.
Right.
And she does. And then she was telling me, like, oh, yeah, your dad was laughing about your unopened box of condoms, and how you should, you know, be whatever, fucking girls and whatnot, and all I could do was laugh. So I'm sure, yeah, they've definitely, you know, had that conversation multiple times. But it's, my mom's great. It's not like she's keeping us, I guess she in a way is keeping a secret. Sorry guys, you know, I'm lying. But it's not like I'm trying to actively deny anything.
Right. He hasn't asked you straight up.
No, he has not.
But if he did, what would you say?
I honestly don't know. I mean, obviously, I'm at the point in my life where I don't think I'd say, no, I'm not. What do you mean, Dad? Like, I'm so freaking masculine, bro. Like, you know, I love pussy, bro. Like, you know, like those toxic guys out there who think that, like, masculinity equates to being straight.
And being a dick.
Being straight, yeah. But actually, I've been wanting to tell him, but I wanted to tell him in a way that was a bit more meaningful to me, in the sense that if, I guess, manifesting, when I find a significant other who I love and care about, that's when I would tell him, because I would introduce him to my father, and I'd be like, hi, Dad, this, well, and hi, Mom, this is whoever.
Right.
And he's my boyfriend. There you go. So I think that's the way I want to come out to him.
Okay.
Officially.
Sure.
Again, I mean, if he asks me tomorrow, then I'll be like, I mean, well, I'm bisexual, but yes, I like men.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Next. So, yeah, I don't think I'd deny it. But so I think a lot of it came from my high school experience, like, coming to terms with it. And, you know, just... there's no point for me.
How were your friendships in high school? Did you remain friends with some of the stronger friends you had in middle school, like the girl that you reconciled with? What did that? How did that end up?
I did, actually, but... well, because funny enough, after I transferred, a good chunk of my friends also transferred, a year later.
Okay.
I don't think they were necessarily trying to copy me, but they just decided it was good. So I still had a lot of those connections, and obviously the ones that were not important or were not relevant or had any meaning, they kind of just fizzled out. And if I run into them here and there, I'll just say hello, you know. But so for the most part, all my friendships that were genuine and great stayed that way.
Good.
Maybe not as potent as they once were because I wasn't around them.
Right.
But then obviously I you know, I had new friends and I really met a great group of people at that new high school that I'm still friends with now. And obviously I had a lot of, I mean, as most high schoolers are, I had a lot of acquaintances. And when you're in a class with somebody for, you know, a whole year, or at least, like, if you have the block schedule, it's, like, a whole semester. You kind of are forced to like them in a way. Not all, all the time.
At least be cordial.
Yeah, just be cordial. So a lot of those people I don't speak to because I'm not, they weren't my friends.
Right.
So, but for the most part, the ones that mattered still matter and are still around.
Yeah.
And through thick and thin, and right now thick. So
post-holidays, people.
Post-holidays, you know, the perks of working a desk job.
Very true.
Yeah. And Korean barbecue.
And Korean barbecue.
Yeah.
So what happens post high school? Where do you go to college?
Ooh. I did for a bit.
Okay.
I'm still planning on going back, but that's just inner battles with. Oh, well, I guess I guess I should mention that the trauma from cancer came way later.
Oh, no.
It was during college. So I was kind of just dealing with a lot of my own, like, mental health issues, depression. So it was really hard for me to focus on college because my mind was in the right place. Neither was my heart. So still trying to go back.
Was being gay a part of the struggle at all?
Yes.
Was there any pent up? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, to an extent, but it was more, I should probably see a therapist, but do you want to be my therapist? No, but like,
I don't have the facilities for that.
No. Oh God. I guess I'll have to Venmo you some money right now. You know? No, I think definitely. I mean, you know, that's part of, I remember just kind of sitting in, locking myself in the bathroom, sitting like on the toilet with the lid closed, obviously, because I'm classy. And just really just sitting there and just crying and not knowing what to do and just feeling so helpless. And I mean, so obviously that was a part of it, but then also just the whole cancer thing. Throughout my high school career, like, it was great. It was all great. And, you know, I expressed my emotions through dance and met group of friends, whatever. But then at the end of the day, after all that was said and done, I still was kind of struggling with myself, and I'm just like, oh, okay, what's wrong with me? I had such a great high school experience after transferring. I have amazing friends. Why am I feeling this way? And I was, it sucks because me not knowing why I was feeling that way also contributed to me feeling that way and being more frustrated with myself, you know? So, maybe it's also just really, really delayed trauma from dealing with cancer at such a young age. After dealing with my mom having cancer the year before, like, straight up a year before. So it's just, honestly, if I couldn't pinpoint the, like, the main source or even what I was going through at that time period, because it's a shit show, let me tell you.
Yeah.
So, and I think I've repressed a lot of those. But, you know, I tried to get over it, and I was on antidepressants, which helped for a bit. And, you know, I guess my advice out there for people who are dealing with, you know, just struggling with their mental health, it's okay to admit that you need a form of help, whether it's talking to someone you trust, whether it's a family member or a friend, or seeking a therapist if you have the means to do so. I mean, it sucks that with the, the health insurance and whatnot. But if there's any way, shape, or form, and I mean, you know, even without it, like, there are a lot of resources out there that do help. Like, I mean, the Suicide Hotline can help. The Born This Way Foundation by Lady Gaga and her mom, that's the whole reason it was founded. I just think that it's imperative for you to seek the issue and what you, and, you know, and for you to seek the I guess, your saving grace. And if it's maybe you think pills will help because of a chemical imbalance, you know, then consult your doctor, see what's safe. I'm not telling people to go on pills, but, you know, or, you know, talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody, if you need a professional, talk to somebody. Or
try a variety of things.
Yeah.
And see what helps.
Yeah. So that's why I kind of put it into my own hands to try to figure out what was wrong with me. And, I mean, it's a never-ending cycle sometimes. Or it's just, it ebbs and it flows like the ocean. But then eventually I kind of got a handle on things and went to college for a bit, but then I tried to go back for a bit for spring semester and just did not end well. So I just took a break. And I, during that whole time, I was like 19, I had just turned 20. I discovered this thing called Grindr. Hello. Like the little, you know. Yeah. So actually, I know earlier I did mention that I had oral with that guy back in eighth grade.
Yes.
I do not count that as sex. Just in my personal opinion, you know. Sorry guys if you do, but
the personal definition of sex.
Yeah, the personal definition of sex and the personal definition of virginity.
Okay. Yeah. No, I wouldn't either.
Right, yeah. Because it's just like, you know, little
it's oral. We call it oral for a reason. It's not, it's not actual sex.
But then someone will probably, like, comment or argue and be like, well, it's called oral sex. It's sex. But, you know, in my personal opinion, in my life, I did not count that as sex.
Sure.
So, in my eyes, I still considered myself a quote-unquote virgin, you know? And, I mean, I think the whole concept of virginity, I mean, that's for a whole nother topic, podcast, day, whatever. But I lost, long story short, I lost my virginity at, I was 20.
Okay.
And the guy, he was the first guy that asked me out on a date. Like, first official guy since eighth grade, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of firsts for that, too. First guy that asked me on a date. First kind of adult thing that I'm doing, like, is this a relationship? Like, what is this?
Right. You
know, we were, whatever. And he took my virginity when it came to sex and anal and whatnot. And then he, this is going to sound dramatic, and it's just a hyperbole, but he broke my heart, know?
Yeah.
And
it's a classic tale amongst our community.
Amongst our community. Especially at 20, barely 20, and I had no idea what to do or how to cope with that, and everyone was just telling me, oh, just hoe around, be a slut. So, I mean, it's not like I did. I mean, you know, slut shaming, let's leave that in, like, 2008 somewhere, you know. But I, you know, went on Grindr, and not knowing what I was doing, I was getting hit up, whatever. So I started meeting guys or, like, coming over to guys' houses and doing things. And it was all fine and dandy until, there were two guys in particular, but one of them, met up with. And it's funny because obviously we all know what consent is. Well, I hope we do.
You're right.
You know, not everybody, but, like,
if you're listening, you are confused. Consent is a verbal yes agreement. May I do this? Yes.
Because I know her. Sorry.
You're good. Yeah, so consent is a verbal yes agreement when performing a sexual act.
Or anything, really.
Yeah.
Like, oh, can I borrow your jacket? Yes.
Consent.
Okay. You know, can I sleep with your dad? No. Oh, okay, fine. You know, little things.
Right.
Baby steps. So, you know, basic idea of consent. But still, I was very new to the whole hookup world because I had only been with one, quote unquote, been with one person.
Yeah.
During my adult life, and that was that guy who took my virginity and broke my heart. So I didn't really know how hookups went. And then I met up with this guy who was telling me to do things, and I just didn't, I didn't feel comfortable with it. Excuse me. Good. I'm not getting choked up, I swear.
Okay.
Just... There we go. And he would like tell me to do things, and I was very hesitant. I was just, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't have to go into detail, but I did it because I thought that's what I had to do because I'm meeting up with this person from Grindr who invited me over to their home or whatever. So I, like, that whole day was just, like, turmoil. I was like, I don't know what just happened. I mean, I do, but I don't, you know?
Right.
For
everyone listening, so the guy from Grindr, you haven't met him before.
No.
And he's asking you, telling you to do things sexually that you've never done before or that just don't feel comfortable. And you're basically pressured, feeling pressured to do them because you're already there.
Mm-hmm. And he was older.
And these weren't things that you were comfortable with. That's the bottom line.
Bottom line, yeah. I mean, obviously some things I've done before, but I was not comfortable doing at that point in time.
With him in that moment.
Right? Yeah. Yes, exactly. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to say no. Mm-hmm. So I said yes and kept going. Felt gross and disgusting and dirty. I mean, I'm not trying to say that rape victims are that, but just for me, I just felt really uncomfortable with the situation.
Right.
And, when it stopped and I was driving home, I still was very much in shock. I didn't know what just happened, you know? And I kept, literally the next couple weeks, I kept telling myself, oh, it's fine. I agreed to that. It's fine. That's what happens during a hookup. It's, you do things that the other person wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't really, again, still didn't really resonate with me at that point. And then another guy came along. And he lived in San Diego. He was also an older guy. I think he was 37 and I was 20. And he drove all the way from San Diego to where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, okay, we're going to go out to dinner. And then I'm going to go back to your place. I'm going to fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, we can get dinner. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the other things.
Yeah.
He's like, are you serious? Like, I did not just drive all the way from San Diego for me to not fuck you tonight. And I was like, we can talk about this later.
Yeah.
So we got dinner and then went back to the house. And again, I was like, even just like dreading coming back to the house. I did not want to leave the car, but also it was his car. So I did want to leave, you know, and he just wouldn't take no for an answer. So, he fucked me.
He physically forced?
Yeah. I kept saying no. I was like, I don't think we should do this tonight. And he's like, I drove all the way from San Diego. I'm spending the night. I'm fucking you. And eventually I said, okay. All right. Like, I get it. Uh-huh, you drove from San Diego. I asked you to come here, and we need to do this.
Mm.
So, okay, let's do it. And we did. And
this that, whole time, what are you thinking?
I'm sorry, I
don't want to claw into any...
No, you're fine. Keep in mind, I was 20, and he was, like, 37, and he was, like, a military guy, so obviously much stronger than I was. So, the main thing that was running through my head right now was, like, at that moment in time, was would I get killed or beat up if I resisted, you know, and whatnot. So that was like my main thing, is just what would happen. And the other thing was this is not, no, like I should not have agreed to this. I really don't want to do this. I really did not want to do that. So he spent the night and I didn't sleep. How could someone sleep after that?
Yeah.
And then he just left in the morning and was like, oh, I'll see you next week or something. And I'm like, uh-huh. And it, even from that point on, it took me a good year to fully wrap my brain around it and be like, oh, wow, I got sexually assaulted both of those times where I didn't want to do anything.
Yeah.
And I kept, but then the second one, I kept saying no, and eventually I had to say, okay, the first one, I thought this is what I had to do because this is hookup culture, you know? So, yeah, that's, wow. And obviously now I'm a lot older. I don't know about wiser, but I think it's very important to reinforce in people that if someone tells you no, back the fuck off.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to do anything, whether it's something sexual or just anything at all,
yeah,
and someone asks you to do it, you have the power to say no.
Yeah.
Because if dogs know what no means, then humans should too, you know?
Can too. Yeah. You need to know too.
Yeah, and this applies not only to LGBTQA plus people, but also to, you know, heterosexual people, primarily women. It's like, I know it's hard to just tell someone no if they're being really aggressive and just like,
especially if they're bigger. In your case and the case of many women.
Yeah, I was a little twink boy at the time, you know. So, it just sucks that for the longest time I was beating myself up over putting myself in that situation, and I was just blaming myself, solely myself,
right,
telling myself that, oh, that's what you get for trying to, quote-unquote, hoe around. That's what you get for, you know, using that stupid app and meeting these older men because you wanted to feel something. So for the longest time, that was my ongoing mental battle with myself, was, this is your fucking fault, dude. Like, you deserve it, you know?
Did you ever tell anyone about the assault, or...
I told my friends, I think officially told my friends in 2017, because when I finally like came to terms with it, I told them like, this happened, you know?
I'm going to turn the light on.
Okay.
This happened.
Yeah, because that's finally when I came to terms with the fact that, oh, I got raped. And, you know, I think around that time, more and more awareness was, you know, coming up when it came to consent and came to sexual assault or any kind of assault. But just the main thing is consent. So that's when I finally came to terms with me not being at fault for it. You know, so that's the one main thing. It's like, if that happened to you, you know, that really sucks, but don't blame yourself for it.
Right.
And always feel like you're in a position to say no at any given moment. Even if you're in a committed relationship, you know, if your partner is trying to have sex with you and you really don't want to, you can say no.
Yeah.
your body, your choice, you know? So
100% of the time.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously now I feel a lot better, obviously not about it. I still think sometimes I wish it didn't happen, but I'm also wishing that it didn't not happen.
Right.
It's just kind of a thing where, okay, this happened, I have to live with it now, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna have that drag me down and just constantly be crippling my self-esteem because I'm always thinking about it, and I'm always being paranoid. Mm-hmm. So I've learned my lesson, and I just hope that people, you know, don't put themselves in compromised positions like that. And even if they are, that they need to say no. Mm-hmm. And if they really don't want to do something, they need to say no. And it's funny because even nowadays, I still get guys from time to time that try to pressure me into doing something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I'm going home.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I don't want to do this. Like, you're not going to try to guilt trip me into doing anything either. You know, like, I don't care. It's, I don't want to do it. I'm not in the mood. Mm-hmm. No.
No.
Just no. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Rob, do you have any advice for anyone who is maybe struggling with their identity or trying to navigate their home life? Do you have any advice for anyone out there?
I guess my advice, it's just hard because you never know how someone's home life is or how dangerous of a situation it can be if they, like, you know, out themselves. I guess
most applicable to you.
To me.
If someone is pretty much in your identical shoes, maybe 5 years earlier, 10 years earlier, what would you tell your younger self?
My younger self? That don't lose sight of who you are just because other people are telling you what you're supposed to be. And at the end of the day, you're only stuck with yourself. So either work hard to kind of discover who you are. I know that sounds really mundane. It's like, oh yeah, just figure out who you are. It's not, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. But, or accept yourself for the flaws that you have, for just being you. And if you happen to be gay, that's fine. Like, you are you, and the people around you that love you and care about you, at the end of the day, they will still care.
Yeah.
If they really loved you, you know, and if you feel like you don't have that kind of support, well, you have this podcast, you have this apparel, and there are a lot of resources out there that can help you. And there are a lot of really great people, in your local community, I'm sure, that just can help you kind of come to terms with who you are. And don't ever feel the need to hide. But you know what? Again, come out on your own terms. Like, don't feel pressured to come out if someone's telling you, oh my God, just come out already. Like, we know you're gay. Oh my God.
That's, you know, the worst.
That's the worst. Because one, don't assume. That's rude. And two, that's nobody else's business but yours. So just take back the power and just do it for yourself. And again, say no if you don't want to do something. So I guess those are my two main things I would... I can't count. Those are the main things I would tell people. It's just... there are people out there for you. And... yeah.
Awesome. Awesome, Rob. Well, thank you for coming on the show and sharing your story. And, you know, your unique background and journey through everything from the cancer to the coming out or being outed, I guess, and even the sexual assault. So I appreciate you taking your time and talking with me today.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for having me on here. It's great. And, you know, I'm hoping good things for 2020 for you and your podcast and obviously your whole brand and your whole thing.
Thank you all for tuning in. You guys are amazing. I really appreciate you all listening and for your support. As a reminder, you can find us at www.thealphabetmafia.com. If you want to be featured on the blog, go ahead and email us at podcast@thealphabetmafia.com. Remember, you are not alone. For anyone out there that is struggling, that doesn't feel like anyone cares, that might feel alone, remember, you are not alone. You are the hero. You are loved. You are valid. And if you are in need of serious help, please, please, please check out thetrevorproject.org or give them a call at 1-866-488-7386. Again, remember, you are loved, and I want you to know that no matter what. Thank you all for tuning in to the show. Have a beautiful morning, evening, whatever it is. Good night.